If you want to take a raw look at Kanye West going back to the 90s, Netflix has a new documentary out. It's called Genius, a Kanye Trilogy. And as the name suggests, it chronicles in three parts his rise from a producer in demand from Chicago to music industry icon. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans has been watching, and he joins us. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
So this is a fly-on-the-wall portrait of Kanye West by a filmmaker who connects with him back in the late 90s, follows him up the ladder to stardom. What do you make of this portrait of a young phenomenon before he became one of the biggest names in music?
Well, what's really unique about this is that the filmmakers behind it hooked up with Kanye back when they were doing a cable access show in Chicago that was focused on rap. So he had just produced about a third of Jay-Z's classic record, The Blueprint. Mm-hmm. But he was always devoted to this idea that he could be a recording artist himself. And a lot of people in the industry did not believe that this geeky, skinny kid who was had a retainer in his mouth, had to take his retainer out to rap for people, that he
We keep seeing the retainer. It's this recurring scene
we keep seeing the
in
retainer.
The documentary.
Exactly. That this guy, this mama's boy, never really been arrested or had any kind of street cred, could be an artist at a time when gangster rap was still a really potent force. Mm. And so Kanye was so eager to show people what he could do. He actually went to the label that was co-owned by Jay-Z, Rockefeller Records, with recordings of his beats and rapped over them to like random executives to try and convince them that he should be signed. And we have a clip of that. Let's check it out.
She's so precious with the peer pressure. Couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis. She had hair so long that it looked like weed. And she cut it all off that she looked like me. And she be dealing with some issues that you can't believe. Single black female addicted to retail and well.
And so, you know, you can hear that they're like trying to run an office while he's in there rapping to people.
Yeah.
Now, this song has since become a hit, and it's sort of bewildering that some of the people around him didn't realize how great these songs were and didn't just jump on signing him. But it took him a while to convince Rockefeller to sign him, and it seemed like they initially signed him just to placate him so he would keep creating beats for other artists.
Well, that to me is what's fascinating about this behind the curtain look, is him being blown off, you know, by these titans in the industry back then. But this documentary also gets into his challenges, his mental health struggles, the loss of his mother, who is clearly so important to his life. And then there are these public what's going on moments, right? Endorsing Donald Trump with a MAGA hat. He runs for president himself. This is a complicated kind of Shakespearean story. Does this
For sure.
film present it well?
Well, you know, when it comes to the controversies, I think they're very careful about what they present. They're pretty distant by the time it gets to the point where he's running for president and stuff like that. Although they do reconnect with him at moments, and we do get some intimate footage that seems to capture him having trouble focusing. He was with a bunch of people, and he tells them that he had to take bipolar medication just so he could speak coherently. He said translate alien to English. Mm. Now, one of the other great things about this doc, though, is that it captures a lot of moments between Kanye and his mother. Mm. And it's really interesting to see how her confidence in him really seemed to feed his own self-image and this unshakable confidence, where he sort of came to the world and said, I'm the best. I just need you to realize it, and eventually you will. And so we have a moment where his mother is sort of sitting next to Kanye and talking about his attitude.
You know, Kanye was always self-absorbed in a way. You went to kindergarten from here. They picked you up from right across the street. And I came to kindergarten one day, and you looked out in the hall and saw me, and you were on the top of the sliding board, and you said, I don't need you. Do you remember that? You did, Kanye.
And so that's really touching. And of course, you know, she passed away in the mid-2000s. And the doc suggests that that may have been when Kanye sort of lost his moorings and may have gotten more and more erratic. It doesn't come right out and say it. It just kind of presents these sequences, and you're encouraged to kind of draw your own conclusions.
Yeah. Well, as I was hearing that clip, I think about another moment in part one as far as his confidence, his hubris, whatever you call it, when he looks at the camera and says, well, this documentary project is a little narcissistic. I'm like, there's no little narcissism, right? You have it or you don't. But he even knew it back then in the 90s.
There's always got a moment where he sort of goes, yeah, I know I'm egotistical. You know? Yeah, like, especially back then, he's self-aware enough to know, you know, what kind of trip he's on. But he was going up against this hip-hop establishment that didn't believe in him as an artist. He knew what he was capable of. You know, we see the seeds of this incredible belief in himself and why he needed to be like that.
Eric Deggans is NPR TV critic. Thanks, Eric. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me.